Our scripture reading this morning begins at Mark 6, verse 30. I'm reading from the ESV if you'd like to follow along. The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the towns and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and to buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the five loaves and the two fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the two fish among them as well. And they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass them by. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and they cried out. For they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased. And they were utterly astounded, for they did not understand about the loaves, because their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him, and they ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well.
Thank you, Lee. Good morning. My name is Kevin Crawford, one of the pastors, and this is Advent season and Christmas season. We're going to continue in the book of Mark looking at Jesus as we anticipate his coming this Christmas season. Let me pray for us as we gather together more through his word. Lord, thank you that you desire us to worship in all that we do. Whether sitting at home or gathered together as a church, you want us to make much of you in your name. So we pray that through your word, you are made much of. We pray that we would get a glimpse of who you are as a great God and Father who sent your Son into this world, who shows us life and gives us life. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would guide us through the scriptures. Give us truth, give us love, give us conviction. Encourage us to walk in obedience to who you are, Jesus. Thank you that you are a God who meets us where we are at. You became one of us to show your love and to save us. Give us ears to hear what you are saying to us now. In Christ's name, amen. Well, it is Christmas season, and many of you might be going shopping or shopping for others, or you just experienced Thanksgiving with your family, and we are wanting a gift that will satisfy us, right? Like, if I'm going to get this gift for my child, and they'll just make them happy. Or you remember as a kid, you wanted that BB gun, or you wanted that Nintendo, or you wanted that Xbox. You wanted that thing that would just satisfy your soul. But your expectations, you never meet your expectations, do you? Like at Thanksgiving, maybe the turkey's dry and it didn't meet your expectations of a really moist, juicy turkey to give you what you wanted there. But we're all looking for this satisfaction. We're looking for a sense to be full. We're looking for a sense of completeness and contentment. Like the famous poet Mick Jagger said, "I can't get no satisfaction." And he's right. Anything that we pursue, anything that we desire, anything we consume, it never fully satisfies, right? Maybe you go after something you buy and it's kind of buyer's regret. Or you go for food and it's just this comfort food, but it never fully gives you comfort. There's like something in the human spirit that is hungering and longing for satisfaction. But we don't always get it. Or it's an empty hole that we continue to pursue, like a rabbit hole that we never find the bottom of. And this morning, as we look at Jesus this morning, I believe that Jesus comes to satisfy our deepest needs. Jesus reveals that he has something of who he is in himself. He offers himself to us to satisfy the deepest need of our souls and minds. So the big idea out of Mark chapter 6 is this, as we continue on in the series, is follow Jesus who came to, in compassion, to satisfy everyone's deepest need. We are continuing as disciples following this Jesus, learning and listening from him. And he came in compassion, caring and loving every single human being, everyone. Not just people that we think are good, but every single human being he came for, because he's for every single human being. And he came to satisfy the deepest need of all of humanity. Not just for people who think they're right, but for every single human being. Your friends, your families, your neighbors, your coworkers, no matter where you are at on your spiritual journey this morning, as you gather in this room, Jesus is for you and wants to meet you and satisfy the deepest longings of your heart in which he created in you. So would we journey this morning as we continue to listen to Jesus and watch Jesus as he demonstrates who God is to us, because he is the God-man who became one of us. So if you have a Bible, I invite you to turn to Mark chapter 6 that was read for us. Mark chapter 6, verse 30. It will be on the screen. But we're looking at this book of Mark. It was recorded probably by Mark and Peter, wrote this book to account Jesus' life and teaching and what it means to be his follower. In verse 30, it says this, "And the apostles," meaning the disciples, "returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught." Remember last week we saw that Jesus had sent out the disciples to show and share the love of Jesus in miraculous ways. He was sending them out as missionaries to all people, like we are all disciples sent on mission. So they come back to Jesus to report. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they were there on foot from all towns and got there ahead of them." So here's the scene. The disciples get into the boat with Jesus, and they're rowing across the Sea of Galilee, and then all these people are along the shore following him. And this isn't just a few people. This, as we'll see later, thousands of people are on the shore because they're inquisitive and wondering and seeking out, who is this Jesus? They know something about him, but they don't know everything. So they're running. Can you imagine the scene? They're like, the disciples are like, "Whoa, what is going on?" And thousands of people are following them along the shore. Do you get the scene? They are really seeking after, who is this Jesus? They're spiritually seeking, they're not satisfied, they're wondering, who is this Jesus? And maybe that's you this morning, or maybe that's your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, wondering, who is this Jesus? Maybe you're on the shore going, who is that guy over there? And this morning, I hope that you get a glimpse of who Jesus is, of how he has compassion for you no matter where you're at. And he came for the deepest longings of your soul to satisfy you. Maybe you're on the shore running going, who is this Jesus? If I could just hear him for a little bit. Sometimes we run to Jesus not knowing if or what he will do, but we're curious about him. And maybe that's you this morning. And Jesus is always for every single human being who's inquisitive and wondering, who are you, God? Who are you, Jesus? And Jesus welcomes you. And it says this in verse 34. It says, when he went ashore, he saw the crowd and he had compassion on them. Jesus saw this crowd and his heart broke for them. He didn't care what was on the outside. He didn't care about what political view they watched or what TV show they watched. He didn't care the way they were dressed. He didn't care about anything on the outside. There was something internally about the God with us, Jesus Christ, that his heart broke. He had pity on them. His heart was crushed because he looked at them. They were like sheep without a shepherd, meaning these people are wandering about looking for direction, looking for purpose, looking for redemption, and they're like wandering like blind sheep looking for satisfaction in all these places and consuming all these different things, yet never fully being satisfied and never being led. This is the imagery of Israel in the Old Testament. They are wandering about looking for a leader to bring purpose, meaning, satisfaction, and ultimately redemption and satisfaction to their soul. And if you're in that place this morning of longing and wondering and your soul unsatisfied, Jesus is offering himself to you. We are all like sheep without a shepherd, wandering. Do you look at your neighbors this way? Do you look at the people you work with, you play with, you interact with around different places? And does your heart break in compassion because you see them from a spiritual standpoint and not because of any physical standpoint? The way they're dressed, the way they act, their political bent, their sexual bent, their socioeconomic bent, whether they're legal or illegal aliens, no matter what their ethnicity is, no matter what their religious background is, no matter what they've done to other people or what's been done to them, do you see that all of humanity, your friends, your family, neighbors, and coworkers, do you see them from a spiritual standpoint? Or you'd be like, well, they're just different than me. If we are to walk in the ways of Jesus, if we're disciples of Jesus becoming more and more like him, what he's done to us, he wants to do through us, and what he's done to us is he saw Kevin as a hopeless sinner in a white suburbia, Ohio, as a sheep without a shepherd, and he said, I have compassion on you. Because you're looking for satisfaction in all the wrong places. And it was for every single one of us as disciples of Jesus. We were sheep without a shepherd, and he had compassion on us and loved us. Do you see this Jesus who has compassion on everyone? We'll see that in just a little bit, what it means that he has compassion on everyone. That he is a shepherd. He leads us on paths of righteousness. He leads us towards satisfaction. He is our protector. He's our redeemer. He's our rescuer. He's our caregiver. He's our feeder. He is the one who is the caregiver to the sheep. He makes us lie down in green pastures, which he means he satisfies us with what we need and not what we want. There's a difference between want and need. Yesterday we were going to get our Christmas tree and there was a Santa Claus there, and Santa Claus, well, what do you want to my kids? And one of my kids said, I would like this, like, five words of a car. Like, I don't know, like, it was like the, I don't know what it was, but it was a fancy car that was worth thousands of millions of dollars or something like that. We'll just say a bazillion dollars. And the Santa was like, yeah, I'd like one of those too. You know, we all wish for something that will never satisfy us, but Jesus is offering himself and gives himself for us to satisfy our soul. And what does it mean that he satisfies? We'll see in just a little bit. But we are all seeking satisfaction. We're all seeking someone to lead us. Like a son to his father looking to lead, like a daughter to his mother looking to lead, like a student looking for a mentor, like a disciple looking for a rabbi. We're all looking for someone to lead and to satisfy and to show us the right direction. And Jesus saw them as like sheep without a shepherd, no leader. And he's saying, I am the good shepherd. I will show you the way. I am the one who satisfies. Jesus cares for the inquisitive, that have no provision, that have no direction. These people were spiritually hungry, and he began to teach them many things. Before he fed them physically, he fed them spiritually. He was teaching them. They're wondering, they're curious, and he taught them. They were hungry to hear about the kingdom of God and what life was about. We don't know what he was teaching, but we know that Jesus' teachings give life and encouragement and direction. And Jesus was feeding their souls with his teaching. And the story goes on. After he's teaching them, thousands of people, it says this: "And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, this is a desolate place." This word desolate is really important. You've heard this word as the scriptures were read. This word desolate is the word that refers to the idea of desert. And God has always taken his people through the desert and has done miraculous things by providing for his people in the desert. When God's people, Israel, were in the desert and they were hungry, he made this white stuff fall from heaven, not snow. Stuff, literally manna from heaven, fell to provide for his people. When God was providing for his people through Moses, if you can read about this in the Old Testament, he had them sit down in groups of 50 and 100, and God provided for them what they needed in bread and substance. Does this sound familiar though, with the scriptures that were read for us? Why is it that in just a moment we're going to see that Jesus had them sit down in hundreds and fifties and he feeds them bread? It's because Jesus is showing himself as the one who is greater than Moses. He is the King of kings. He is the Lord of lords. He is God with us, and he's revealing this. They're like, sit down in tens and hundreds and he fed us. That sounds familiar, because God is continuing to show that he fulfills his promises, and he's the one who continues to satisfy the souls. And Jesus is greater than any prophet. That he is the ultimate prophet, the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And it says this, when they went, in verse 36, send them away to go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves something to eat. But he answered them, you give them something to eat. Jesus says to the disciples, you give them. They're like, got nothing. Left my debit card at home. And it's too late. I know Walmart's open 24/7, but I got nothing. It says this. And he said to them, shall we go and buy, shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give it to them to eat? This is like 6 to 8 months' wages. Should we go to Costco? Should we load up the carts and spend 6 to 8 months' wages and get enough bread for everybody? They don't have that. Jesus is leading to what? A place of what? Dependence. He's leading to a place that they can't do it themselves. He's leading us always to a place of dependence upon him as a disciple, that he is the one who provides and satisfies as the good shepherd. And he said to them, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. So they went around and looked. Out of 5,000 people, this is what they got. These people are traveling super light. And they found out they had 5 loaves, meaning, and 2 fish. They had a happy meal. Jesus, we found a happy meal amongst the 5,000 men and probably 4,000 some odd children, women and children. We found a happy meal. Okay, what do you want to do, Jesus? It says this. And he commanded them all to sit down in groups in the green grass. And he sat them down in groups by 100 and by 50s. Why? Why did he sit them in groups? Because he's like, I'm showing you. As Moses said, there'll be one greater than me, and I'm here. I'm here. I'm here to satisfy your souls. I'm God with you. This is awesome, incredible. Can you imagine sitting there going, this one's greater than Moses. He's the one that's going to satisfy. He's the good shepherd. And he said to the, and it says, and he asked, and taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up at heaven and said a blessing and broke the bread, loaves, and gave them to the disciples to set before the people, and divided the 2 fish among them. They had a trust. They had a trust that Jesus was going to do something miraculous. And they kept on coming and distributing, coming and distributing. And everyone was eating. Everyone was getting full. And it says this. Later on, it says this. Well, first, let me say this. God said this to Moses, is the Lord's hand shortened? Can he provide? Moses wondered if God's hand was too short. I think we wonder if God's hand is too short. Is God really going to provide in this moment, in the time of our need? Not want, in our time of our need. And it says this, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. Jesus is providing for the deepest need in our satisfaction. So let me ask you, how many baskets were left over? 12. Numbers are really important sometimes in the Bible. Really important sometimes. That made a lot of sense, didn't it? 12 baskets. And Jesus is on the western side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Jewish area. How many tribes of Israel are there? 12. 12 baskets, 12 left over. If you flip a few pages over, when Jesus feeds the 4,000, Jesus had gone back over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, to the Decapolis, which was the Gentile nation. They ate, or the Gentile area, the Roman area, they ate and were satisfied, the text says, and it says that there were 7 baskets left over. Now, if you know a little bit of Old Testament history, how many Canaanite Gentile nations were driven out was, guess, 7. Jesus is demonstrating in the feeding of the 5,000 and 4,000 that he came for all people, whether Jews or Gentile, whether CNN or Fox, whether gay or straight, whether whatever, he came for all people. No matter what your socioeconomic background, Jesus is saying, I have come, and if you come and feed on me, the bread of life, you will have satisfaction. Because I've given my life to you. I have broken my body for you. I died the death you deserve. My body, my bread, broken for you. Because your soul is your deepest need of every human being. The deepest need is to be connected to God and to connect it to other human beings. To have the hostility broken between us and God of our sin and our hostility between Jews and Gentiles and everything that divides us as humanity in Jesus Christ, his body broken for us, reconciles us back to God, all people, every single person, and reconciles us to one another so we might love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. Isn't this beautiful as God demonstrates in these pictures how he is for all people? Do you understand the beauty of that? Not just the mystery, the incredible story that we're caught up in, of that he loves every single person and he's for every single person. Jesus supplies what we need. He is our daily bread. He is our provision for our soul hunger. Not only does he supply it, he is sufficient in himself. How does joy happen in life? We are connected to God despite our circumstances, despite death surrounding us, despite illness, despite socioeconomic turnaround. We are connected to God because he's given us himself, so he is sufficient. Whoa. And he satisfies. Now, you might not feel it. You're like, I don't feel satisfied. It's kind of like eating that cheesy and caramel popcorn. You're like, it's just like crack. It's like, you know, you're never satisfied. You eat that stuff. And sometimes you might be to a person, well, I don't feel satisfied in Jesus. I don't feel that he's sufficient. Feelings are important, yet they should not be the rudder in which navigate our entire life. If you taste and see Jesus, the bread of life, if you drink him in of springs of living water, and you pursue him, you will find satisfaction. You will find a ballast for your soul. We're all seeking something in our deepest need. We all have an idolatry of something, whether that's sports of idolatry, whether it's our children as idolatry, or our family, or success, or treasures. We are all seeking something to satisfy our soul, yet they find themselves empty. And Jesus says, I offer myself. And he continues to show this as the one who ultimately satisfies our need. It's the story from the garden to garden of the whole Bible. Pictures all through the Old Testament of God showing his provision and what we need, not what we want, just enough. Not an abundance always, but what we need in himself and what he provides for us. Because God is always taking us to a place of dependence upon him. always wants us to be dependent upon him in the desert places. He says, I am sufficient. So what are you seeking for satisfaction? What do you seek personally? Especially this Christmas season. Is it that moment, that Norman Rockwell moment with your family that we never get? It's dissatisfying. Is it that one electronic thing that you want that won't satisfy? Do we understand that Jesus offers himself as the bread of life to satisfy? Follow Jesus, who has compassion on every single human person that satisfies us. And are we following him? The story goes on, and you've seen the disciples kind of fumbling around here. And remember what the disciples had just come off of. They've just been coming off what a preaching tour. They've been showing and sharing the love of Jesus. So they're all-star. They're perfect, right? They've arrived at faith and perfection and all these things, right? And what it means to follow him? No. It says this, immediately he had his disciples get into a boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida. While he dismissed the crowd, and after he had taken leave, of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when the evening came, the boat was out on the sea and was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought he was a ghost and cried out. No kidding. I would freak out too. There is someone walking on water, and this is not normal, in the middle of the night. They freak out. They don't know it's Jesus, for sure. It looks like a ghost to them. What's going on? Notice the idea that Jesus was going to pass by. Remember who the focus a little bit of the story has been, Moses. How did God show his glory to Moses? Put him in a rock and pass by, right? Right? Thank you for the amen. Making sure I'm on point. So here it is. The God of the universe is passing by. Who was this God to Moses? He was the great I am. He's the ego a me. Who are you, God? Moses would ask. And he says, I am who I am, right? And here he is on the sea, and it says this, and about the fourth watch of the night came to them walking the sea and passed them by. They cried out because they thought it was a ghost, for they all saw him and were terrified, but immediately he spoke and said to them. Now, you're freaked out, you're on the lake, you see a ghost, and Jesus says, take heart. What? Then he says this, it is I. In the Greek, it is ego a me, it is the I am. As I pass by, it's recollecting who is the greater one. Greater than Moses, Jesus is. He is the God with us. He is the greater one promised to us who satisfies. Do not be afraid. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. Now, that's probably not a good astounded. There's an astounded like, that was awesome! And there's an astounded like, this is crazy! This is crazy stuff going on. Because it says this, for they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. The disciples that had gone and showed and shared the love of Jesus, now their hearts are questioning who Jesus is. Many of us can be like, those idiots. But I look at it and go, that's me. I look in the text and I say, you know what? I am stumbling forward as a disciple of Jesus. He's called me to show and share the love of Jesus, but there's times I doubt him. And if we're to follow this Jesus, who is for every single person, is compassionate on every single person, there's part of us that he needs to raise our faith of him. And part of being a follower is that he wants us to trust him. Over and over, what you've seen over the past few chapters as a follower of Jesus, he says, do you have faith and do you trust in the object of who I am? Jesus invites us continually to trust him. That frustrates me. I don't like that. I want to arrive at trust and belief. I want to be done. Like after this service, I'm going to go home and I'm going to snowblow my driveway and I'm going to see accomplishment. it was a mess, and now I'm done, and I did something. And I'm done until the drifts come. Right? That's the humanness. We want completion. We want doneness. But Jesus is continually inviting us on this journey of, are you taking the step of faith and trust? And he shows us places that he wants us to trust and increase our faith. As a follower of this one, he wants us to have an ever-continuing trust. He wants us to have an ever-increasing dependency upon him. He wants us to have an ever-increasing obedience to him. Because we are inadequate and we are desperate for him. So if we are followers of Jesus, we are having continued increase of trust and dependency and obedience. And we're following this Jesus who has compassion to satisfy everyone's deepest need. Do you see that in the heart of Jesus of this story? So if you're a disciple watching this, you're learning from Jesus to become more and more like Jesus. And if you're wondering and you're curious about who Jesus is this morning, you're seeing this great God who has compassion on every single human being and offers himself for the satisfaction of your soul. So let me close on this. Maybe you're running along the sea this morning. You're wondering about Jesus. You're spiritually curious. Or maybe you have a friend or family or neighbor or coworker who's spiritually curious about this Jesus, especially during this Christmas season. The scriptures reveal this God as the one who has compassion on you, where you're at. No matter what you think, no matter what you're doing, no matter what's been done to you, no matter what your sin is at high or low, Jesus is here through his people. And Jesus wants you to know how much compassion he has for you and says, come to me the way you are. Come to me, you weary sinners. Come to me, you who are broken and contrite. Come to me who feel rejected. Come to me like the woman bleeding. Come to me like the leper. Come to me like the sinner who's an outcast, who nobody wants to do with. Come to me and I have compassion on you because I understand you, God the universe says in Jesus. Because I understand that you're looking for satisfaction in all these places. I know you go after these things and they're like a black hole and they never satisfy. Would you come to this Jesus? Say, Lord, I throw myself at you and I'm dependent upon you because I know you satisfy. And maybe you've been walking with Jesus or you've known Jesus for a long time. What is Jesus demonstrating to you as a disciple, as a rabbi this morning? If we're to become followers of Jesus and becoming more and more like him, what did you see this morning in this story to become more and more like him, that he wants to transform your heart to become more like his? Well, it seems if we walk in the ways of Jesus and we're becoming more and more like Jesus, that we have compassion on all people. No matter the way they're dressed, no matter their socioeconomic background, no matter if they're legal or illegal aliens, no matter their race or creed, or sexual identity, or political views, or religious background, or their beliefs, or their disbeliefs. Jesus looks at them and has compassion. He has pity. His heart is broken. And is our heart in line with Jesus' heart of pity and compassion on every single human being that we interact with? Because he was for us. And what he's done to us, he wants to do through us. And for the gospel to go forth, he is recreating a people who don't have momentary compassion, but have continuous compassion on all the peoples of the world around us. And that what we offer is Jesus to people. We don't offer them a fun life. We don't offer them a healthy life. We don't offer them anything, but we offer them Jesus, who is the soul-satisfying bread to their soul. And who quenches their thirst because he's living water. Are you walking in the ways of Jesus of compassion? Are you walking in compassion for every single human being, friend and foe? And are you offering the bread of life to people like Jesus is to you? May we be a people who are so captivated by this Jesus, of what he's done to us and his compassion on us when we were like sheep without a shepherd, wandering as we continue to do, and he offers himself. And may we be a people who go forth in compassion to all peoples, offering Jesus and nothing else for their soul satisfaction, so they might have joy in life the way God intended for them. Because the deepest need of all of humanity is to be connected to God and to connect to other human beings. It's by his death, burial, and resurrection, he redeems us back to that relationship. Would you pray with me? Lord, we are such a people to wander, prone to wander. Lord, I need you. Lord, we pursue so many things for our soul satisfaction, whether it's fame or fortune, whether it's material possessions, whether it's food, whether it's a technology issue, maybe it's more likes, more of something, more streaks on Snapchat, another piece of clothing for people to know us, religious things. We make good things the ultimate thing. And Lord, we confess to you, we go after so many different things for our soul satisfaction, and we are like sheep without a shepherd, and we turn back to you, the good shepherd, who laid his life down for us and broke his body as bread for us to give us life. And we turn back to you, acknowledging you are the joy and satisfaction of life. Your ways are right and our ways are not. Your ways are higher than our ways. Thank you that you are all for all people. And Lord, we confess that there are times that we don't think you're for all people. We think that you are for people like us. And Lord, may we as a church repent and turn back to your ways of being a God for all peoples at all times. And may we be a people of compassion, because we continually understand your compassion for us. And it's renewing our mind, renewing our soul, renewing our obedience, and our hands and heart and feet to be like you. So Lord, if there are any in this room that think that you're a God who is not compassionate, who is a killjoy and who wants to backhand them for the wrong, may they come to know you as a compassionate Lord. And Lord, may your people walk out your ways in compassion for all people and present you as the ultimate satisfaction of redeeming us back to you and to humanity, back to one another. We give you all the praise and all the glory for coming to be one of us to satisfy our souls. In Christ's name, amen.